All right. Again, so glad you're here today. You're going to have a special treat. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Jeff. Normally I teach here, but every now and then we have someone else come in and share. Next week, I really want you here because our youth director, Carrie Mitchell, is going to be preaching. So that's going to be cool. So you don't want to miss that. She's a little nervous, so give her a really hard time, okay? Give her a really hard time if you see her. Now, we got a great guy here today. This is Lauren Holberg, and Lauren is a district minister for the Foursquare denomination, but he was also a pastor at Emmanuel Foursquare here in town. He was the founding pastor. Now, I've been pastor here at Revolution. I started Revolution over 22 years ago, which is, like, a lot of times you say that, and people are like, oh my goodness. I mean, the average length someone stays at a church is 3 to 5 years for a pastor. And so being at one church for over 20 years is, like, kind of mind-blowing. Lauren was at his church for 40 years. Isn't that incredible? That's incredible, man.
Oh, man.
I love it. So that's just real faithfulness. He loves the city of Salina. He loves our church. He's been here a lot. And so I'm proud to introduce you today. Let me pray, and then you'll give it to us.
Thank you.
Lord God, give Lauren the right words and presence.
Thank you, Lord.
And most of all, give us the right ears and heart to hear your word, understand it, and apply it in a way that'd be honorable to you and helpful to the church, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's welcome Lauren
Amen.
Today.
Amen. Well, good morning. Mike's on okay? Good morning. Anyway, you know, I was thinking, I've been coming here, I think, 7 years on and off, just once in a while to come and be with you. And boy, I just sure love this church. And do you love your pastors? Do you love Jeff? Yeah. Okay, well, this morning I decided that I wanted my message to be a gift to Jeff and Meadow. And you can give it to him from the passage that I'm going to talk about. Because I think 7 years ago, I think it might have been the first time I spoke here at the church, I spoke from Psalm 84, and I thought about that message again for today and just kind of check it out again. So Psalm 84 is what you can do for your church. You know, what is this thing, the church? You know, it's the body of Christ. We gather together here, but it's for us. You know, Psalm 84, it was written by somebody that loved to be at the house of God. And I think there's reasons why, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. And I want to say that every pastor, Psalm 84, every pastor would love the people that came to his church to feel that way about their church. And so it's called the Pearl of Psalms. It's Psalm 84. And I hope that today that we can do this for your pastors here, and that if you do these things in Psalm 84, I think it'll be a gift to them. And I think it'll be a wonderful gift. So I'm going to have you, if you follow along with me, but Psalm 84 talks about these things. And I'm just going to read it verse by verse. We're going to go through it. And then I'm going to make a point for each one of these 10 things, okay? And it's kind of like this is a Revolution church checkup, okay? Checkup to see whether you're doing these things for your church and for the Lord. Because also, not only if you're doing them as a gift to your pastor, but I think you'll get everything that God wants you to get out of being in a church if you'll do these things. In other words, if you'll live like this, and this will be a part of the way you view your church, I think it'll be a rich experience being here at this wonderful church here. So let's look at them together. Psalm 1, here's what the writer of this psalm says. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. What do you think? Did you feel that way when you came to church today? He said, I just can't wait to get there. It's just such a comfortable, safe place for me. And so what's the first thing you can do for your church? I want to say this. Keep a fervent love for the Lord and for your church and for the mission of the church, you know? Your love for the Lord is such an important thing, especially after you've followed the Lord for a while and after you've been a Christian for a while. One of the things you can have the tendency to do is to lose your first love for Him. In the book of Revelation, Jesus talked to the Ephesians church, and He said, "Listen, you're doing everything right, man. You're growing and you're doing everything, but I have one thing against you. You've lost your first love." You lost your first love. And so he said, repent. And how do we keep that our love for the Lord fervent? That's so important. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament that there should always be a fire on my altar, God says. And our altar is our heart. How do we keep a fiery love for the Lord in my heart? That's a gift to the church and to the people around you, that a sincere love for the Lord, that you can be like a firebrand. You know, firebrand is something that starts other fires, you know. And your love for the Lord can be so genuine and real that other people can say, I want to love the Lord like that. Maybe another way to say that is keep your seek strong. You know, how strong is your seek for the Lord? And Song of Solomon, the bride is always seeking the groom. And that's a wonderful picture of marriage and love. But it's also a picture of the church and the Lord. And the bride is us. And of course, the groom is Jesus. And if you read Song of Solomon, the bride's always seeking the groom. And in the third chapter, she says, I'm going to go seek the groom. And then in the sixth chapter, she says, I'm going to go seek the groom again. She kind of lost sight of him. And her friends around her said, can we go seek him with you? You know what you can do for the Lord? Your seek can be so genuine and real that other people say, I want to seek the Lord for like that. You know, that's one of the things you can do. And not only just love the Lord, but love the church, love people. How much do you love the Lord? Well, you can measure it by how much you really love and accept people, how much you care about people. It shows that way. And so, another expression of that is, and we visit a different church. My wife and I visit a different church almost every weekend. And you know, we visit a lot of churches that they love the church, but something's happened. They've lost their love for the mission of the church. You know, the mission of the church is to reach the lost, isn't it? To have that. And in the book of Ephesians, this is the longest. This first one's the longest. I promise not all 10 of these will take this long. But in the book of Ephesians, when the Lord is rebuking the Ephesian church and he says, you've lost your first love, he says, return to your first works. You know, what's the first work of a Christian? And I think it's to share Jesus with other people, isn't it? You know? I've been a believer a long time now and a pastor a long time now, but I got saved right here in Slina. I grew up in Slina after I got back from the Army and everything. My life was a mess, drugs and alcohol and everything. And when I finally got saved, I felt like I had to go back to every bar that I used to hang out at and tell people about Jesus. I mean, I did that, and I got into some real embarrassing situations. I remember one over here, it's not even here anymore, but the Peacock was a big barn town here when I was in Salina. And I went to the Peacock, and I announced to the whole thing while they're in there goofing off, I just gave my life to Jesus Christ, you know, and boy, I tell you. My first love for the Lord, it was expressed in the fact that I wanted other people to love the Lord. And so that's what you can do for your church, is to keep a love for the Lord and for the church, for the people in the church, and then the love for the mission of the church is to reach the lost. And then here's the second one, the second one from Psalm 84. It says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. What do I get from sparrows and swallows? Here's what I would say. You can offer love, acceptance, and forgiveness to everybody that comes through these doors. You know why I think this church is growing and why it's healthy? Because I think you do. I think you do offer love, acceptance, and forgiveness to everybody that walks through these doors. You know, think about when you come to church, what do you think about? What, you know, I don't know if you should think about what I can get from the Lord, but what also should you think about who can I offer love, acceptance, and forgiveness to? You know, if everyone does that, you know, we go to a church every weekend, and some churches you'd never even know you were there. Nobody says anything to you. Nobody greets you when you're a visitor. But you can all be a part of the welcoming in this church. Every time you come to Sunday, you can say, yeah, I need to get something from the Lord, but think, who can I touch? Who can I offer love, acceptance, and forgiveness to? I love Romans 15:7. It says, accept one another as Christ has accepted you to the glory of God. You know, do you offer acceptance to other people? Can I just ask you that for a minute? Let me just ask you this. Who are the people that you feel the most comfortable with, that you, when you like to be around and you like to be around them. I can tell you who they are. They're the people that have accepted you. They're not trying to change you. They're not trying to judge you. They just accept you. And there's a atmosphere of acceptance that can be in a church that just makes it safe for people to come to. And I think this church, I give this church an A+ in that area. You're good at that. And that's important. It really is to offer love, acceptance, and forgiveness. So that's you can do it to two groups of people. You can do it to the sparrows and the swallows. What does that mean? The sparrows are, you know, the ones nobody would notice. The people that might not be accepted. You can love the Lord Jesus without respect of person. What a powerful testimony of the love of God. If you can just love people just for who they are and do that without respect of persons. Those are the sparrows that I think the Lord even tests church and says, I'm going to send this person here. I'm going to see if somebody will, I'll see if they'll welcome them and they'll accept them into that. And that's such an important part of the church is. I'm going to read a quote that I read on your website. I think that is so important to that. But I think that's important thing. And then the swallows. It says the swallows, it says they can lay a nest at your altar, O Lord. And I think how you treat the children in the church. You know, children don't take too much of love, but I mean, it doesn't take too much to show kids that you're loving them, but it's so important. And I was thinking about at our church one time, and I might have told this story before, but we had a family that came. They had like 5 or 6 boys, you know, just a whole bunch of boys all in the line. And the littlest one was named Asa. His name Asa. And every time I saw Asa, I'd say, how you doing, King Asa? Because there was a Bible king, the king of Israel named Asa. I used to get down and talk to him and say, how you doing, King Asa? So he was having lunch with his family and all his brothers were around him. And he announced to his mom, he said, Mom, somebody not in our family loves me. You know, and she said, well, who loves you, Asa? He's only a 5-year-old boy. And he said, Pastor Lauren loves me. And his mom said, well, how do you know he loves you? Because he talks to me, because he looks at me in the face and he says my name, you know. It doesn't take much to love kids, but the swallow can lay their nest here. Now, the kids are so important, aren't they? I know Meadow's always next door there, but what an important thing. And I think that's one of the things that you can do is to offer love, acceptance, and forgiveness to everybody that walks through those doors so that they feel comfortable. Now, the pastor can't do that. He does a great job of it, but you can do it. You can be the welcoming. Every one of you are part of the welcoming committee of this church. Amen. And there's a lot of people that need a home and a place to go. It's because here. Let me cover this third point here. It says here that even the sparrows find a home. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Here's the third one. You can make this your church home. Make this your church home. You know. I don't know if that's an old-fashioned phrase, but I remember when we'd go door-to-door when we were starting our church, I'd ask, do you have a church home? You know, isn't that a good description? A church should be a home. You know, there's an ache in all of our hearts for home, some place to belong. And you can make this your church home. You can get involved and get settled in this church. I love here's the phrase from the website that I read. And I don't know if he's here or not. Is Joey Geringer here? Is Joey here? Where are you? Where's he at? Oh, he's back there. Anyway, Joey, listen to this. I think this is one of the greatest testimonies that your church could have, and that's why I give you an A+ on love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Listen to what Joey said. Out of all the places that I figured I would eventually belong, a church would have definitely been at the bottom of the list. The people here are amazing and make life fun. I honestly couldn't see myself belonging anywhere else. Wow. Every pastor would love for someone to say that. And that's because of you've offered that love, acceptance, forgiveness, and that's an important thing. So make this your church home. Another thing, how do you do that? Well, here's a simple thing. One thing, you're going to have opportunities to get offended, but don't take them. Don't stay offended. You know, I think one of the greatest things that can happen in a church is you're learning to get along with people. And whenever we get along with people, we're going to get offended sometimes, right? So don't stay offended. I mean, that's one of the biggest weapons the enemy has against the church is to get you offended by somebody saying something or something the pastor did. But if this is your church home, you don't leave it just because you get offended. You work through it, don't you? That's such a crucial thing. And protect the unity of the church. When you hear, this is your home, and you protect it like you would your home. If you can have that kind of attitude, that's such a crucial thing, I think, for a church is to make this the church home. Here's the fourth one. The fourth one, it says here, they will still be praising you. And so here's what I want to say about that. Be a part of the joyful sound of the church. Be a worshiper when you come here. Be a worshiper. You know what Psalm 85:15 says? It says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They'll walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They'll walk with God's favor. And I believe you have the joyful sound here. You do have the joyful sound. Be a part of it. You don't have to be a good singer to be a part of it, but enter into worship and do that. Another thing I thought of is the book of Numbers. It said that Balaam was trying to curse Israel. He was trying to curse Israel, and then he says he couldn't curse Israel because the shout of the king was among them. And the shout of King Jesus is here, and be a part of that. One of the main words for worship is hallelujah, halal in Hebrew, and it means to turn the spotlight on God. So the more of you that are here that are turning your spotlight on God, the more people come in and will know that that God's here. So be a part of worship. Be a sing and worship. Sing and worship. I was thinking as I was thinking of this passage. I was thinking about how singing brings joy to wherever you are, I go to the YMCA, trying to keep from getting too old, go to the YMCA all the time. And there's this one guy at the YMCA, I finally met him and talked to him. He sings all the time. He's always singing. He'll sing when he's out, when he's working around or walking around the gym. When he's in the locker room, he's singing. And so the other day I said, I need to find out what makes this guy tick, And so this time when I was going to do that, I heard him singing one of my favorite old hymns, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. He was singing that. I mean, he's singing so almost everybody in the thing could hear it. And I said, hey, why do you sing all the time? And then he told me that his mother was a music teacher. He's an older guy, but he's saying, I sing as a witness to Jesus. And you know what I was thinking? He changes the atmosphere of even the YMCA by knowing the joyful sound. So know the joyful sound in your life. Be a worshiper, not just in church, but be something that's a part of the of thanking God and praising God and bring the joyful sound into your family and into your life. And just a simple thing. I've decided that I'm going to sing a lot more. I don't sing good at all, but I'm going to sing a lot more because it always brings joy. You can sing yourself happy. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Speaking to yourself, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. You want the word of Christ to dwell in you richly? I mean, and really be real and something you can write your life? Then sing about it. Be a part of the joyful sound. So that's another thing you can do for the church is be a part of the joyful sound of the church. Here's the fifth one. And this is a big one. Let me read the text first. So this is verse 5. Blessed is a man whose strength is in you, whose heart is on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring, and the rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Here's what you can do for your church and for your pastor and for your family. Stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. Don't stay discouraged. And stay in it. The best form that you can be toward the Lord is to be an encouraged form of the Lord. And learn how to do as David in Psalm 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. He said, when his wives were stolen and Ziklag was born where he lived, it said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Be able to find encouragement for the Lord and to stay encouraged. It's such a crucial thing. Remember when Joshua took over for for Moses, four times the Lord told him to be strong and of good courage, stay encouraged. He said, Joshua, you be strong and of good courage so you can lead these people into an inheritance, you know, so that if you really want to live in all that God has for you, then stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. And then he said, be strong and very courageous if you're going to do the word of God. You know, some people say, well, you Christians, you know, you need a crutch. Listen, it takes courage to serve Jesus. Encouraged to put him first, encouraged to believe the word, because it goes against the course of society. So be strong and of good courage if you're going to do the word of God. And then if you're not going to give in to fear and dismay, he said, you be strong and of good courage. And then the final thing that he said to Joshua there is the people said, Joshua, we'll follow Moses. We'll follow you just like we followed Moses, but stay encouraged, would you? So what can you do for here for the church? Stay encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, I was thinking lately about two things that it says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy, but then to be able to find grace in a time of need. Can you do that? Can you do that when you get discouraged? Can you go to the Lord and find grace? Grace is his ability to get through it. And then also he says in Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for you'll find rest for your soul. So can you find rest? Can you find grace? Can you stay encouraged? Can you just stay encouraged in the Lord? You know, I was talking to Joe as I walked in. He was a greeter at the front door. And he said something real profound in a real, real simple way. He says, the important thing about his relationship with the Lord is he just shows up every time. He just gets here. Isn't that a great word? It really is. It just shows up. Just be here. Be a part of Jeff works hard. I mean, he's one of the best preachers I've heard. I love to listen to his sermons. So good. Be here so you can hear what God's saying to the church. Just be committed. You know, be a part of the church here. I love Isaiah 35. It talks about this highway of holiness. And it says, if you'll just stay on this highway of holiness, and billions of people now have stayed on the highway of holiness. They've tried to serve the Lord. And it says, if you stay on that highway, with holiness, you won't backslide, you won't get fearful, just stay on the road, just stay involved, stay committed, and you'll be okay. So that's another thing you can shape for your church, to stay encouraged. Just a few more here. The sixth one is, I'll read the text again. It's better to read the text here. Here's what the psalmist says, for a day in your courts are better than 1,000, and I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Here's what I want to say to that. Find your gifts and serve in the church. You want this church to be a church home for you? Then get involved, get to know people, and find your gifts and use them in the church. You know what's always bothered me? The verse from Romans chapter 8. I know people that were really good sinners. I mean, they were the good sinners. They really got after it in their life, but they're lazy saints. That ought not to be true. I know people that are good at their business or good at their hobby or good at their craft, but they don't do anything in church. They don't do anything in the church. You're supposed to bring your whole being here, and our work as pastors is to help you find your gifts and then to serve, to find a place to serve, just to do something. We shouldn't be bored in church. You should be using the gift and talents God gives you for his glory. So that, I think that's an important thing. I guess I probably told this story, but if I did tell it 7 years ago, I don't think anybody would remember it. But stories I heard was that the president of our denomination, Paul Risser, came to our church and visited our church, and he told this story about his son, who was the youth pastor at his church. This has been a long time ago. And anyway, his son coached the girls' softball team in a church league, right? And so one of the girls said, "Can I bring my friend? She's a good baseball player, softball player, and can I bring her? Maybe she can get in the game." And he said, "Well, you can bring her, but I don't think I can get her in the game because you know we got a pretty good team, you know." So she came to the game and she sat on the bench. She didn't get to play a ball. And then one of the girls got hurt, and they put this girl into the game, and she was better than anybody out there by a long way. She caught line drives in the outfield. She hit a home run when she was up. Anyway, long story short, her name was Dot Richardson, and she went on to be the best softball player on the United States Olympic team, you know. And Dr. Risser said of his son, and my son had her sitting on the bench in a girls' softball league, a church league, you know. And sometimes that's the way we feel about the church. You got talented, gifted people, but they're bored in church. That's not the way it should be. Your gifts should be used for the glory of God, shouldn't they? So that's the sixth thing you can do for if you really love your church and love your pastor. Use your gifts here, whatever they are. They can be simple, being a greeter at the door, helping in the kitchen, whatever, you know, whatever, find your gifts and use them. And then the last four kind of go together quickly, and I'll go through these quickly here as we close the message today. It, all of them in verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So let me just say something about those last four words here. The Lord God is a sun. Here's what I want to say about that. You know what you can do for this church? You know what you can do for your pastors? Keep a now relationship with the Lord. An up-to-date one. You know, not yesterday, not everything Jesus did for me yesterday, or not tomorrow when I finally straighten out, I'm going to really get saved. But keep a now relationship with the Lord. Walk with the Lord right now, right now. You know what that'll do for the church? It'll make you, listen to this, it'll make you a prophetic person. Not a pathetic person, a prophetic person. But what is a prophetic person? It's someone that knows what God's doing right now. Got something current that Jesus is doing in their life. It's a current relationship. And you know what happens if all of you here have a now relationship with the Lord? Same thing's going to happen. People are going to come in here. They might not understand anything that happened, but they're going to say, God's in this place. There's something about here that it's real. It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. It's real. You know, to keep a now relationship with the Lord. And then it says, and it says the Lord God is a shield. This is a simple one, but let me say this about this. You know what you can do for your pastors? You can be part of the prayer shield of this church. It's important that you pray for Meadow and Jeff and for the staff that you have here. Listen, that my church now is pastors. I 60 churches I help oversee, and pastoring's tough today. We're living in a tough culture to pastor, and your pastors need your prayers. You're just praying for them. You know, I think about Acts 12. I call it the kind of a sermon called the Big Lie. The whole church was gathered together praying for Pastor Peter that he'd get out of prison. They just really wanted to get out of prison. And then when God answered their prayer, Peter came and knocked at the door in Acts 12, and Rhoda answered the door, and she went back and told them, hey, listen, Peter's out of jail. And they said, oh, no, it can't be. He can't be out of jail. What were they praying for? They were praying for he'd get out of jail. And they said, well, it must be his angel before they could even believe it was him, you know. And so sometimes I think the big lie is that your prayers don't matter. They do matter. Pray every day for your pastor. You know, I think of a little grandma in our church. She's a long time she's went to be with the Lord. But you know what she told me one day? She said, Pastor, you know what I do for you? I put your name in Psalm 91, and I pray for you every day. I pray for you every day that you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that you'd abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that you'd say of the Lord, He is my strength. Well, wow, what a gift. What a gift. You can give Pastor Jeff a gift by praying for him every day, just by praying for him and covering him. And there's such a connection. When Moses lifted the rod above his head, I think that's a picture of intercessory prayer. And as long as the rod was above his head, Israel was winning the battle. But when he let his arms down, they were losing. I think that's a picture of the prayer cover of a church. So you love your church, you love your pastors, pray for them. Every day, pray for your staff and pray for them. And then it says that the Lord God gives grace and glory. You know, you can give for your church, you can grow in grace and in glory. You know, one of the things, again, a lot of times I get to speak in churches, and you know what I look for when I'm in churches? Don't get paranoid about this, but I look for a yes face. I look for somebody that's tuned in, somebody that I think they're hearing me. They're looking, because sometimes you can get distracted when you're up here. Maybe Jeff doesn't get distracted anymore, but sometimes you can see people bored to death or like, but you look for someone that's got a little hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're tuned in. They really want to grow. That's what you can do for your church. You can draw it out of them. You can draw it out of that pastor. He's by just wanting to grow in grace and grow in your knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. That's such a crucial, simple thing, but it's such an important thing. You know, blessed are those, Jesus said, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, when I was a pastor there at Emmanuel for so long, you know how I could tell if somebody was doing okay? I would kind of taste their hunger and thirst for righteousness. If they'd lost their hunger and thirst to grow and to get closer to the Lord and to know the Word, I knew they were in trouble. But as long as they had a hunger and thirst for righteousness, I knew they would be okay. So that's what you can do for your church. And then finally, the last thing you can do for your church is you can be a person of glory. And Colossians 1, it says there's a glorious mystery that not every, but it's being unfolded in these last days. And he says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what you can do for your church is have a moment by moment relationship with Christ so that his life shows, the glory of his life shows out of you. You know, you can be a person of God's glory and presence. You can do that. You can just by including Jesus in every moment of your life, you can be a person that reflects the glory of Jesus to other people. And I think that's a crucial thing. So Psalm 84 is a wonderful psalm. And I really do believe that it would be a gift to your wonderful pastors, Meadow and Jeff and the church staff, if you would look at some of these 10 things and then allow yourself to do them when you come to church, right? Don't you think that'd be a good thing to do that? So before I pray, and then after I pray, I want to have us just make some confessions, okay? I'm going to ask you, you don't have to do this if you don't want to say it, but I'm going to ask you to make 10 positive confessions from this psalm that you're going to do these things. But let's come before the Lord for a minute and just wait before him. Father, first of all, as we just come into your presence now, I just want to thank you for this church, God. And I want to thank you for Jeff and Meadow and the leaders of this church. I want to thank you, what a gift it is to the community. I want to thank you for the people that have committed themselves to this church, Lord. And I just ask a blessing upon it, Lord. I pray that it really could be a Psalm 84 church, Lord, that all the things we talked about today would be characteristics of the people. And then just let me say this, why everybody just has their heads bowed and eyes closed. You know, maybe here, you know, the first gift that you can give to the Lord and to the church is to give your life to Jesus Christ. You know, I often think of Revelation 3:20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he says, "If anyone opens the door, I'll come unto him." And I think about this. Think about your heart having a door. And Jesus asks you, if you really want, if you really want him to be your Lord and Savior, you have to open that door and invite him to come into your life. You know, also another picture is I think we have a throne on our heart. And what the Lord asks us to do is to get off the throne and let him sit on the throne and give your life to him. And so maybe there's some of you here yet that have never done that. I want to tell you, when I finally did that on August 12th, 1972, when I finally surrendered to Jesus, boy, I'm so thankful for that. Everything changed for me. Everything changed for me. And I don't regret that decision for a single second. All of life was the most important thing. And so maybe you've never really opened your heart and asked Jesus Christ to come in your life. You know, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything, but if there's some people like that you're really not sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to ask you to do something. I'm going to just ask you to slip your hand up so I know that might be you today. And then I'm just going to pray a prayer. So if you're here and you're not sure you're right with Jesus and you want to invite him in your life, would you just lift your hand up right now? Just lift it up. Let me see some people, their hands lifted. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. Several of you here lift your hand. Anybody else right back there? I see your hand. See all these that have lifted their hands today. Oh, bless you. Okay, so I'm just going to pray a prayer. And right there at your seat, all of you that lifted your hands, you pray this prayer. And can I just ask the whole congregation, would you pray with me this prayer? Because the Lord will hear it. Would you pray with me? Would you all say together, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I come today to open the door of my heart and ask you, Jesus Christ, to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. Forgive me of not putting you first. And I ask you right now to sit on the throne of my heart and help me to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for these that raise their hand today, that maybe some for the first time or maybe a recommitment today, God, you would give them grace to do that, Lord. What a wonderful thing to serve you and follow you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Jeff wanted me to remind you of the card that you have there. On the back of that card, if you raised your hand and made a commitment to Jesus, would you just take that card and make sure you put your name on it so they can know that you prayed that prayer, so they know who you are, can help you grow in the Lord. So before we go this morning, would you because we're going to be dismissed in a minute, would you stand with me as we do this? And again, you don't have to do this, but I'm going to ask you to make 10 confessions with me, all right, from Psalm 84, so you can remember. So you ready? I'll say it, and you repeat after me. I'm going to keep a fervent love for the Lord, for my church, and for the mission of the church. Keep a fervent love for the Lord, my church, and the mission of my church. I'm going to offer love, acceptance, and forgiveness to everyone who walks through these doors. I'm going to make this my church home, and I'm not going to stay offended. I'm going to be a worshiper and part of the joyful sound of this church. I'm going to stay encouraged and be an encourager of others. I'm going to find my gift and serve in this church. I'm going to keep a now relationship with the Lord. I'm going to be a part of the prayer shield of this church. I'm going to keep growing in grace and knowing Jesus better. Now I'm going to be a person that includes Jesus in every minute of my life. Amen, Lord. Let that be so in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed.